Thank you for visiting New Song Community Church on the web at newsongpdx.com. We pray that you will be blessed by listening to the message today. You are welcome to celebrate with us in worship and the Word every Sunday at 10 a.m. We are located on the corner of Russell Street at 2511 Northeast Martin Luther King Jr. Boulevard in Portland, Oregon.
Acts chapter 1, verses 4 through 14, I want to just kind of introduce to you something we're going to be talking about, a person we're going to be talking about for the next few weeks, probably 6 or 8 weeks, I'm not sure, the person of the Holy Spirit. And we're going to be talking about defining moments in your life. Even when you didn't know it was the Holy Spirit was doing it, he's been at work. And so let's look at in Acts chapter 1, verses 4 through 14. You get the responding verses. And so the idea behind it is that we'll understand that he's been at work and he wants to do great things in us. Verse 4, and then you read the responding verse all the way down to 14. And being assembled together with them, he commanded them not to depart from Jerusalem, but to wait for the promise of the Father, which he said, you have heard from me. Therefore, when they had come together, they asked him, saying, Lord, will you at this time restore the kingdom to Israel? But listen to this, but you shall receive power when the Holy Spirit has come upon you, and you shall be witnesses to me in Jerusalem and in Judea and in Samaria and in the end, to the end of the earth. And while they looked steadfastly toward heaven as he went up, behold, two men stood by them in white apparel.
Who also said, Men of Galilee,
then they returned to Jerusalem from the mount called Olivet, which is near Jerusalem, a Sabbath day's journey. Verse 14 together, then all continue with one accord in prayer and supplication with the women, Mary, the mother of Jesus, and with his, let's pray right now. Father, in the name of Jesus, Lord, I know you can redeem the time for us. But Lord, I believe that you want to define some moments that we've experienced with the Holy Spirit. Some of us knew about it, some of us didn't. But he's so real. And Lord, at least if I can make people aware of his presence even now in this place, that he's in this room about to convict others of the way they're away from God and bring others into relationship with him in such a way that they'll never be the same. Holy Spirit, be with us today. You're welcome in this place. And as the personage of who you express yourself to us, Lord, as a result of that, some will be saved, some will be delivered, some will be healed, and some will be launched into ministry. Lord, do all these things. We ask all these things in the powerful name of the Lord Jesus Christ and all God's people said.
Amen.
You may be seated. I can say this without any doubt, and I believe this to be true. One of the most ultimate defining moments in the history of the world, other than the life, the death, burial, resurrection of Jesus Christ, was when the Holy Spirit came on the earth. There is nothing more important other than what I just named to you about Jesus when the Holy Spirit has come here. And it will. And I'm going to tell some of you in the next few weeks of defining moments in your life when you didn't know it was the Holy Spirit, but it was him that saved your life. It was him that kept you from making that horrendous mistake, or after you made that horrendous mistake, he's the one who got you out. And so I want to tell you that he's alive and he's well today. And here's the questions I have for you. First of all, have you ever wondered why your passion for Jesus has dwindled since your decision and commitment to follow him? ever wonder why, you know, I'm just not as passionate as I was before? I'm going to tell you why. Because you stopped listening to the Holy Spirit. You kind of thought it was just kind of thing for a moment or two. And some of you right now are saying, well, where did I come off the track? Well, listen, how about number two? Does the filling of the Holy Spirit seem to be an option to be pursued at your own discretion? Because the Bible says to be filled with the Holy Spirit, that's not a suggestion, that's a commandment. And any day that you're walking about in your life without the Holy Spirit's presence in your life, you're taking a risk of being in the clutches of the enemy who will cause you to do things that you will regret and you'll be embarrassed about. Let me get to number three. Would you like to become a giver of the living water that you have received from the river of living water? You say, what? He that believes, as the Spirit hath said, out of his belly shall come flowing rivers of living water. Is that the word of God? So that means that you can become a fountain of the Holy Spirit, and the things you say, the things that you do, can be of the auspices of the Holy Spirit. Anybody want to be his ambassador? Anyone want to be his representative? So that's what we're going to talk about today, just kind of an introductory piece. Well, the Holy Spirit gives everyone an opportunity to have an encounter with Jesus. John chapter 16, verses 13 and 14. However, when he, the Holy Spirit of truth, notice it says he, the Holy Spirit of truth has come, he will guide you into all truth, for he will not speak on his own authority, but whatever he hears, he will speak and he will tell you things to come. Ever thought you had made a lucky guess? I want to tell you, if you know Jesus, it was the Holy Spirit that was speaking through you and prophesying into the future. And so this concept and this idea, I want to help some of us with the whole language of how do we express the Holy Spirit? Because it says, when he, not it. He is not an it. Now, I want to help you the other part about it. And oftentimes in the Bible, it speaks of the fact when the Holy Spirit, well, I don't call you, you know, the Lee Nielsen. So how come he's called the Holy Spirit? Because there ain't nobody else like him. We want to differentiate him from everybody else. There's only one Holy Spirit, the Holy Spirit. You've tried some other things, it didn't work. But I want to tell you today, I want to make a declaration. There's only one Spirit of God. It's the Holy Spirit, and when he speaks, everything changes. Well, Jesus promised that after his departure, he was going to send the Holy Spirit to all who believed in him as a guide to truth and righteousness. Ever made a mistake? You're lying if you said you didn't. We know. But the word that he puts in there, he'll guide you into all truth and all righteousness. Truth is not a postulate. Truth is a person. Oh, we'll get deep today. He said, the truth, the whole truth, and nothing but the truth. Now, that's our degrees. I don't want to go into political things because it would mess up your day. But some folks have lost the whole concept of truth. They're the same people that believe that there's different types of lies. There's white lies, black lies, and the other kind of lies that don't nobody know how to put them in places. But there's only one truth, and it's a person. And the person is Jesus. And I want to get you straightened out today. There's only one reliable person that he says the Holy Spirit is going to direct you toward Jesus or toward the truth. Well, it goes a little bit further. The Spirit of truth has promised to be dispersed in the lives of all who ask to receive this power in their lives. If you have the ability to do things right all the time, would you do it?
I don't know. Sometimes being stupid's okay.
Really? Clue phone is ringing. Pick it up. You have an opportunity to allow the Holy Spirit to have precedence over your life, that you no longer have to wander in the la-la land of things that could have been that will never be.
Because he's about to do something within you where you will fall in love with truth and error will be something you want to dismiss. And so that's what he does, and that's what his assignment is. Believers are to become givers of the very thing that has transformed them. Question. Who has transformed you? Holy Spirit. The Bible says the Holy Spirit bears witness with our spirit, and thereby do we know we are born as children of God. Now, if you're kind of on the fence, I'm kind of halfway in, halfway out. You ain't even close. Because God does not cut a deal. Oh, this is going to be a rough sermon here. Some of you folks wish you'd stayed home, but it's too late now, Greg. Because we'll know why you left. The Holy Spirit is to be received as a commandment of Jesus, which means this: he is essential for us to do the work of the kingdom. Those of you who will receive this deputization, I want to deputize you to be a bearer of truth, to bear the name of Jesus, the Spirit that will transform the world. How does that work? It means that he is the Spirit of truth that will expose the lies of the enemy. Anybody like to be lied to? I love lies. I love La La Land. This is where I just live all the time. You're strange. He will give us words of prophecy from the Father and the Son, and he will glorify Jesus and promote his kingdom. Now, do you realize that every single one of you who know Jesus, who have surrendered to the Holy Spirit, have the ability to prophesy? Now, I didn't call you a prophet. Take the shingle down. Close down your website. Because you're not all that. But when it's necessary, if you want to be used by God, he wants to use you, but you have to allow the fullness of who he is to take place in your life. Well, the baptism of the Holy Spirit has come with power to all who believe. Somebody say amen.
Amen.
I want to say all who believe. Some of you have eliminated yourself as a candidate for the Holy Spirit because you already know of things that are contrary to the Spirit of God that you're doing, and you don't want to give them up. Did I say that? You'd rather have this than to have him. He's essential to do that work that God wants to do. Well, it's given to all those who will believe. A defining moment awaited all who would heed the words of Jesus to go to Jerusalem and wait. Now, I need to tell you this much. The reason why I read this particular context of Scripture, and I will be preaching on it, not this the next following Sunday, but after that, because that will be on the day of Pentecost. And we'll find out the result of what happened for them waiting for the experience of the Holy Spirit. But I will tell you this much. It's kind of tipping my hand as far as that's concerned. That the Lord said, go to Jerusalem and wait. But I need to tell you something right now. The waiting's over. You don't have to wait anymore. He's here right now. He's filling people right now. He's delivering people right now. He's healing people right now. He's setting folks free right now. Oh, you're in a good place. And before you walk out these doors, I want to tell you that right now can be your experience. Well, the defining moment is that they were prepared, they prepared themselves for what was to come. And so that's what we're looking back in time for them. And all those who chose to obey did not know what to expect. I don't want to tip my hand too much, but the thing about it is, sometimes before we'll obey Jesus, we want to know what's going to happen. I won't ask you to raise your hand. All of your hands need to be raised. Because I just don't really know what to expect. I just don't know what I'm signing up for. The faith element, I need to ask you this much. Jesus went about doing good. What would make you think he would tell you to go do something that would be contrary to his nature? If he said, go to Jerusalem and wait there, there must be something good that's going to happen to you. But the enemy is a liar, and he'll say, oh, no, you don't want to get too religious. You don't want to get too close to Jesus. You'll lose all your friends. Let me tell you something. I'm going to tell you this, and this may hurt your feelings. You really don't have any friends. Somebody told me this early in my, singing career, if I ever had one.
All fans are borrowed. They'll applaud you today, but somebody comes along better than you, they will leave you in the dust. So if you're functioning on that particular premise, good luck with that. But the thing that Jesus is talking about, that personally, he wants to do something revolutionary in your life. So the baptism, the Holy Spirit is a whole different thing. They were prepared themselves to do, well, for preparing themselves for what was coming. All those who chose to obey did not know, obviously, what to expect. Well, here, what about this? We are dependent on the Lord to complete what he has assigned to be done through us. I'm going to look at some of you in the eye. God's got an assignment for you, Seeing. Yes, he does. And the more you yield to the Holy Spirit, it'll become more apparent to you, and the happier you're going to be. The best days are ahead of you. In spite of what the enemy's done to discourage you, I want to tell you right now, God's got something good for you. You guys ought to be happy for it. Come on, give Jesus an amen for that. I heard you in my mind say, what about me? The very same thing belongs to you. God is only good for you. And I want to finish up this message with that particular thought, but we'll get there in a moment. Everything that we have experienced up to now is leading our divine moment of encounter with the Holy Spirit. Dare I say, some of the worst mistakes you've ever made, when you use the Holy Spirit, he can turn it around. When Bree was giving her testimony, you think, oh, here's another. Oh, and some of you say, oh, I could never share that with anybody. That's your problem. You're hiding behind a false image of who you think you are. And I want to tell you right now, God, well, I learned this. Let me help you with this. First of all, God will tell someone to tell you. Holy Spirit, that's how he works. And look, I say, you know, so-and-so. And you say, yeah, right, sure. Then, God, first of all, God tells you. Then he tells someone else to tell you. But you know what the third option is? He'll put your business in the street. Oh, yes, he will. You keep on with this foolishness. Like she said, all of a sudden, it went public. What you thought was private that nobody else would know. And God did not do that to destroy it. Her, God did that to save her. And if it takes putting your business in the street, baby, God loves you enough to let everybody know. Because when you get down to nothing, God can make you something. Oh, I'm beginning to feel his power now. Pray. Come on now. Well, our obedience to what he tells us is crucial if we are going to experience and walk in the power that he desires for us to release. I had him put this one in bold. It says, our first act of obedience is to expect to receive what he promised. I said, well, I don't know, the Holy Spirit thing. And see, I'm going to go ahead a little bit for some of you and scare you half to death. Actually, half to life. Forget the death piece. Because our way of thinking is what the people experienced on the day of Pentecost. They said, oh, that could never happen to me. I just can't even, speaking in tongues, that could never happen to me. Would you get out of your mind and get the mind of God? I want to take you out of your mind and get into the mind of the Spirit, who can do all things. Well, correctly thinking, let's go to this. The disciples of Jesus were told to go and wait until the power was released. And so they do this, and they did this with fully knowing that there was something about to come. Let's go on to this place. The power of the Holy Spirit to overcome our fear. Anybody afraid? Be honest. You afraid? It's okay. Because God, I'm going to show you perfect love that casts out all fear. So you can say this. I don't know whether I'll tell them or I'm afraid. I know. I hear you. I feel you. Hello. Okay, Acts chapter 4, verses 8 through 10. This is actually after the advent of the Holy Spirit, but I need to tell you this. Then Peter, filled with the Holy Spirit, said to them, rulers of the people and the elders of Israel, if we this day are judged for a good deed done to a helpless man, by what means he has been made well, let it be known to you and all to all the people of Israel. that by the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, whom you crucified, whom God raised from the dead, by him this man stands there before you whole. I want to tell you something. The only thing you have to do is tell the truth. That whatever people think, it doesn't matter. But you're speaking as a result of what Jesus did because of someone's obedience. Anybody can speculate, anyone can postulate, anyone can do all kinds of different stuff. But I'll tell you what, when you're obedient to what God says, he says, let me tell you something. It's Jesus Christ, the person that you crucified. He's the one who did all of this. Well, our greatest defining moment will be when we embrace whatever Jesus is doing without the fear of embarrassment. I'm going to help you right now. What church you go to? Song. Because some of y'all embarrassed. Because the word's on the street. Them people are a little strange. Well, they believe in the power of the Holy Spirit. Well, that preacher over there is wild. He's a little radical. You know, I go to church. Ashamed of the gospel of Jesus Christ, for it is the power of God unto salvation. Are you afraid to admit that people will come through these doors, sinners, and will leave saints? Is that what you're afraid of? That people will come through these doors that were bound and are set free? Is that what you're ashamed of? They'll come here depressed and God will set them free and give them a new life? Is that what you're ashamed of? Honey, you got the wrong shame. The devil's done a number on you. Well, here's the deal. The Spirit will empower us to do all the things that the disciples of Jesus are supposed to do. Notice I said he will empower you. Don't be a self-proclaimed prophet. Let Jesus fill you with his life and his presence. The very basic assignment of Jesus' followers was to be a witness. Let me tell you a little bit about that. A witness of Jesus will be willing to tell everything they know about him to everyone who needs to know. Oh boy. Now I want to talk to all you undercover Christians. That nobody knows you're a Christian. Your boss doesn't know you're a Christian. Matter of fact, your husband doesn't know you're a Christian yet. Well, I'm going to leave that one alone. That's another sermon all by itself. But a witness can be asked to testify to what they know to be true. Is that what they ask for a witness? Come with a witness and do tell the truth. I do. But my question is, when people start asking you, well, I just don't know what the answer is to the world's problems. I don't know what I'm going to do with my life. And you know the answer is Jesus, but you ain't said a word. I'm going through this problem with my life. I'm going through this problem with my kids and this type of thing. And you haven't even suggested Jesus as an option. Look at me and tell me that's okay. It's not okay. But some of you are ashamed to admit that you're a follower of Jesus, which makes me question, are you really one? Oh, Jesus, I said it. A witness can volunteer what they know so the truth can be discovered. All I know is I saw him walking down the street towards so-and-so's house. I heard a noise sound like a shot going off, and they came out, and they went in there, the person was dead. You ain't say they shot him. All you know is I saw him go in. I heard a shot, I came out, and somebody was dead. See, you don't have to fix nothing. Just tell what you know. Tell the truth of who Jesus is. And let God work the other part out. One little other piece of this. Our defining moments will occur in either situation. A witness to testify what they know to be true, or a witness can volunteer information that will set things straight. Quickly, the power to witness is propelled by the desire for truth to be made known. And we have no problem recommending This is how we are. We have no problem recommending a good restaurant or a good mechanic. Oh, come on, tell me about it. Ooh, honey, girl, you have not had ribs till you've been, No. That's what we'll do. Oh, yeah, oh, this person knows about, knows BMWs back and forth. Honey, you ought to take your car. We will recommend mechanics, we'll recommend restaurants, all those type of things. But when is the last time you recommended Jesus? No, I want you to stop for a moment and ask the question, when is the last time you recommended Jesus? Who could fix it? Oh, my. The Holy Spirit empowers people to do what all the disciples of Jesus are commanded to do. In other words, we must allow the power of the Holy Spirit to enable us to endure criticism that we will receive from those who oppose the gospel. Some of you are traumatized when somebody tells you they don't like you. Only thing I got to tell you, they're the person that told you they don't like you. There's a whole lot more folks that's on their team. If you think that's the only person that don't like you, you are deceived. There's a band of folks, and if you want to know a few more, I can write their name down for you. Because you are not all that. We can expect that we cannot expect there to be a breakthrough without experiencing personal brokenness caused by the attacks of the enemy. In this world, you will suffer persecution. But don't worry about it. God has overcome all the things of the world. I got to race on a couple of little things. I got to get to Jeremiah in just a moment. Our greater and more defining moments will occur when we focus on the things that the Holy Spirit is directing us to do on earth. Back to chapter 1, verse 11, it says something pretty profound. Who said to the men of Galilee, why do you stand gazing up into heaven? This same Jesus who was taken up from you into heaven will also come in like manner as you saw him go into heaven. I want to talk to you stargazers. Oh, Jesus is going up. And you get your head out of the clouds. Come down to earth. Come live with us in all of our struggles and allow God to do something real in your life. The supernatural realm of the things of the Spirit should not override the anointing that God wants to impart to us. God wants to do something supernatural in your life. What about this? We must choose to obey what the Lord has told us to do in order to receive the promise of the Spirit. Just say, oh, I'm just going to negate all this other stuff, but God, fill me with your Holy Spirit. For what? You're not doing anything. Hello? Or how about this? We must seek the Lord Jesus, and the power of the Spirit will come upon us. Now we're at Jeremiah, where I wanted to get. You just give me an extra moment or two, and I'll finish this for you. Jeremiah chapter 29, verses 11 through 13. This is a familiar portion of Scripture, but I think I've got a revelation for all of us on this. For I know the thoughts I think toward you, says the Lord, thoughts of peace, not of evil, to give you a future and a hope. Let me stop right there. What's your future?
I don't know. I want to get married. I want to have kids. I want to graduate.
Really?
I want to have a nice retirement, 401k.
Talk about shallow hell. That's it?
I got to go a little bit further for...
Then you will call upon me and go and pray to me, and I will listen to you. God is listening to you right now. God's mind and of the Spirit is in tune with your greatest need right now. Some of you right now need forgiveness, and God is listening. Some of you need to be refocused. God is listening. And some of you need deliverance. God is listening. The next little piece here, he says, and you will seek me and find me when you search for me with all your heart. I need to define that for some people. What does it mean to search for God with all of your heart? That's right, surrender. But you know something? We don't know how to do that. Oh, I shouldn't say we don't know how to do this. We think in the realm of exchange. I said we think in the realm of exchange. I won't do this, God, if you'll do that. Oh, come on. Or I'll stop doing this if you give me that. But surrender has nothing to do with the exchange of the things you're not going to do. It means you lay it all down, and he tells you what you can pick up. I believe I'm getting through to somebody today. Because if you do it God's way, something amazing and powerful is going to happen. Let me borrow that 5 minutes you took from me, okay? I want it today. The future and hope that we have in Jesus is through the power of the Holy Spirit. That means we must take the opportunity to reflect upon all the things that God has done to bring us to this moment in time. I want you to stop right for a moment, right where you sit. What has God done for you that brought you to this moment that without his help, you would be nowhere? I want to tell you right now, everything. Because when you woke up this morning, he gave you breath to breathe. Oh, yes, he did. A lot of folks laid down last night, tried to catch their breath, couldn't do it, and they're gone. But he gave you another chance. He gave you another opportunity. He gave you the witness of his Holy Spirit to do something in his name. Come on, you ought to praise him right now. There are many people and places and situations and circumstances that the Lord will and has used to bring you to this moment in time. I'm going to capitalize on this moment right now that you're in. The Holy Spirit can use all kinds of circumstances and situations to bring us into our purpose and destiny. What does that look like? Let me skip down to our whole heart. Our whole heart can only be defined as the times when we are willing to abandon our ideas and preferences and rely on the Holy Spirit to make intercession for us. I got to read that again, or this on the screen in front of you. Our whole heart can only be defined as this. We abandon our ideas, our preferences, and rely on the Holy Spirit to make intercession for us. Consider this. All our heart will find expression when we surrender everything to Jesus. There was a song they used to sing when I was a kid. Is your all on the altar? Remember the next verse? A sacrifice laid. Does your all the Spirit control? Well, part of it. The part you don't want. What does it mean? When we can abandon all that we know to the one who knows everything, who will experience the Lord fulfilling the desires of our heart. Consider this. Don't lose the power of the defining moments of the Holy Spirit. Now, this is my list of things as the worship people come up here. I'm going to give you some facts, and then I'm going to give you an opportunity. First of all, what the devil can't destroy, he distracts. What the devil can't destroy, he distracts. And some of you sitting right here are distracted. Some of you are distracted by people. You're distracted by money. You're distracted by sex. You're distracted by drugs. But that distraction is the forefront of your mind, is keeping you from following Jesus. You don't need to say amen. I'm going to say amen for it. Amen! He's the king of distractions because he makes you think this is more important than that. And I want to tell you, it's a fair ID lie. Oh, it's going to get heavier. So, intercessor, you better start praying now. The next few is going to take somebody out. Number two, if the devil doesn't bother you, then you're probably not a threat. Oh, I don't have any problems like this. Oh, everything's just fine. You are in the throes of the devil. Oh, everything's fine. Everything's coming up roses. Honey, them just dandelions. Let me move on. I only got a couple more. Keep praying, okay? Number three, stop believing the lies of the devil when you can live in the truth. Number four, let the anointing of the Spirit rest upon you to do the greater works that he has promised. I got to stop there, do the best I can. Every head bowed, every eye closed. And I want you to really stop for a moment. And I want you to think about, from your experience right now, everybody, the most defining moment in your life. Some of you, it could be good. Some of you, it could be bad. For some of you, you're thinking about the most defining moment in my life was when I was a child. And I'll never let go of it. And someone told me I'd never amount to anything. And I struggled with that all my life. Another defining moment in my life was when I was prematurely, in my youth, introduced to drugs or introduced to sex or introduced to something that was derogatory. And I haven't been able to shake free of it since that time. It defined me who I am today. The most defining moment for me was when my husband or my wife walked out on me or found somebody else and told me I wasn't good enough. And I've been struggling ever since. I've been in and out of relationships and my life is in shambles because my self-worth is gone. The most defining moment for me was when I thought I was calling on God and I'd given everything to him and my life just fell apart. I need to tell you something. The Holy Spirit did not instigate that. But in spite of what you feel is that defining moment, there's a new definition in town. God says, I know the thoughts I have towards you. It's nothing but good things. But in a moment, we're going to pray, and there are some people in this room today that need to turn that defining moment that has haunted you, that has taunted you, that has beat you up, that has caused you to feel unworthy. You're going to put it behind you because we're getting ready to move into an advocate of the Holy Spirit taking charge of your life and everything being brand new. I'm going to pray first, but I want you to listen to my prayer because I'm going to be very intentional as I pray. Father, in the name of Jesus, there are men and women here today who are stuck. They're stuck in the hurt and the pain and the difficulty, some. Others are stuck with the idea of success if they just continue to compromise their own convictions, if they compromise the things that you know they wouldn't want them to do, they could have everything they want. And they're right about ready to sign on the dotted line. Then Lord, there's another defining moment that people that are here says, you know, if I could only go back and change that decision, my life would be different. Lord, help them to know that this is the moment they can. That your Holy Spirit can bring forgiveness, healing, transformation, deliverance, and they can be the person you want them to be. In the name of Jesus, I break off the curse. I break off the thing that's kept that person captive. I break off the person that says, my marriage will never be whole. I break that off of people today. I break it off of the person that says, I'll never be free from drugs. I'll never be free from chasing women. I'll never be free from chasing men. I break that off of you today. That is not who you are. Jesus is a person that you want in your life. In the name of Jesus, every person wants to redefine in the light of who Jesus says you are, to come to a place of healing and restoration whether it's salvation, whether it's renewal, whether it's renewing your relationship with Jesus, I want you to stand to your feet right now. Stand up right now in Jesus' name. Stand up right now. Stand up right now in Jesus' name. Stand up right now in Jesus' name. I command you in Jesus' name to stand up right now. Let it happen. Come on. I'm going to wait about 10 more seconds and then I'm going to let it go. But there's at least 10 more people that I'll be standing right now. And if you want to stay in the place where you are right now, I can't change your mind, but I would declare this is an opportunity for the Holy Spirit to take control of your life. In Jesus' name, stand up right now. Thank you, Lord God. Thank you, Lord God. Do I wait on these last two people? I will. Because this, there you are, sir, thank you. There's one other person you need to be standing right now because Jesus is here and delivered. There you are. Thank you, ma'am. Thank you, ma'am. Oh, Jesus. In just a moment, we're going to stand to our feet and we're singing, Holy Spirit, you're welcome. Every person that's standing, and those of you who are just kind of waiting at this particular moment to see who's going to, God won't condemn you for the fact that you didn't stand at that particular point. You can come and Jesus will bring deliverance to you. Everyone stand to feet. You people that are standing right now, come right now in Jesus' name. Come right now. Come down to this altar right now. Come in Jesus' name. Come right now. Come right now in Jesus' name.
Holy Spirit, you are welcome here. Come flood this place and fill the atmosphere. Your
for listening today. We pray that you have been blessed by listening to the message. You are welcome to celebrate with us in worship and the Word every Sunday at 10 a.m. If you have a prayer need, we welcome you to submit it through our website. We'd love to pray for you. Will you consider supporting us with your prayer and financial gifts? God bless you.